We will be considering Proverbs 22, verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. If only King Solomon had heeded his own advice. If only he had done so, he would have avoided all that heartache, all that chastisement from the hand of God. But it does not change the fact that under the inspiration of God, he was granted great wisdom, wisdom that he has given, which God has given, and laid up for all those who have hearing ears to hear among the people of God. Wisdom that treats a great and a wide array of different real life issues, including foresight. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And so we are presented with a picture of the virtue of foresight. The virtue of foresight and the contrasting folly of careless short-sightedness. Let us reflect upon two points. First, the picture of foresight and folly. And second, the depth or the dimensions of that picture. So first, the picture of foresight and careless folly. And second, the depth or the dimensions of that picture. Well, as we read this proverb, we encounter something that is an everyday kind of situation, something that isn't so very unknown or unexperienced for any of us. We have two men here, and they share many things in common. In the first case, they are in God's world, as all are. We are under God's sun. We are standing and living and cultivating God's good earth. We are breathing in God's oxygen-rich atmosphere. And so both of these men, they are in this everyday world that belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Remember, Proverbs is not just simply a grab bag of practical wisdom. There's a framework to it. It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So even though we don't read the word God or the Lord, he is there in the background, isn't he? So are these two men. They are in God's world, a world of great good, of potential, and also of evil. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Both of them also are possessed of a natural self-interest. That's a part of being a human being. To be sure, children, it is a sinful, it is a bad thing to be selfish, but it is a natural thing to have a natural care for ourselves. Paul says, which of you hates his own body? That's a sign of not being in a right state of mind. If you despise your own body, if you don't take natural care, what were we just doing 30, 45 minutes ago, but caring for our bodies collectively at these tables and chairs? with delicious food. So it's not just the fool, as we shall soon see, who has self-interest. No, it's also the prudent as well. So there's two men, they're walking down the same path in God's world, the world full of many blessings as well as future opportunities and yet also dangers that are everywhere. They have a natural self-interest and they live in a world that has not only all kinds of dangers, but warnings about those dangers. You know, if we didn't have any of those warnings, what would our lives be like? If the skunk did not emit that rather a pungent odor, then we would just walk straight into him. But everywhere there are these warnings. Doesn't this show something of the goodness of God? That God is unwilling to that man should be harmed. He puts a sign up even in the very garden. This tree is off limits. So there are warnings as well as promises of good things. In this world, both of these men, they're surrounded by these things. They're walking on this path. And the fourth thing that they both have in common is that evil is coming their way. Now, here's where they diverge. One of them has the foresight. That is, he is looking far enough down the road to see the evil. And so he heeds the signal, the warning that is being given to his eyes, to his brain, which causes him to process it and say, I got to go the other direction. The other one, well, he's simple. He just passes on and he runs straight into it. What becomes of these two men? Well, it's rather obvious. The one is safe. Why? Because he goes and he hides himself. Perhaps it's a great storm that is brewing on the horizon. He's driving down the road. He looks up and the sky is getting darker and darker and the wind is starting to blow and the car is starting to shake. But the other fella, he's driving his car, he's listening to his music, and he's making sure that he's keeping up with the latest developments on his smartphone, and he's going straight into the eye of the storm. What sounds like a silly thing, and yet we see this kind of thing happen all the time. Warnings come, one heeds the warning and he hides himself. He turns the steering wheel. He goes the other direction. He gets under shelter and he is spared. The other one is foolish. For whatever reasons, he is distracted, he is preoccupied, whatever the case is, he just keeps on going and he is ruined. Jesus talks about the same two men, doesn't he, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I will tell you what that man is like who heeds my words and who practices them. He's like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains came and the floods rose and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it did not fall. Now, some other guy, he builds a house too. And he builds it not upon a rock, he builds it upon the sand. I mean, he wants He wants some property right on the shoreline, after all. And the sky is blue. I mean, what could go wrong? This is a surefire investment. And yet he doesn't have the foresight to see that one day it will not be so delightful outside. He builds his house upon the sand, and the rains come, and the floods rise, and the winds blow, and they beat upon that house. And what happens, children? It begins to creak, it begins to groan, and before long it crashes down, and great is the fall of it. That's what Jesus said, and it's not just a nice story. It is a nice story, but it's so much more. That's how Jesus gets your hearts, and that's how Jesus saves you, is he uses nice stories, but there's so much more there. And it draws you in, as long as you're not stubborn, as long as you don't resist what he's trying to do. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So this is the picture of these two men. Now, second, let's look at the depth or the full dimensions of that picture of foresight and folly. Well, on the surface, there is the very obvious, very literal, physical kind of foresight, where you're walking down the street, you're distracted, and you run smack into a pole. I'm sure you've done something like it before. I know I have. It's rather embarrassing. It smarts, and you look like a fool. You weren't paying close enough attention. It was right there in front of you. Our eyes, by God's design, are able to do amazing things. They can zoom in when we want to look at something up close and in detail, and then they can zoom out. And we also have this peripheral vision on either side, so that even though we're focused upon something in front of us, still, if something comes into the peripheral vision that demands our attention, we can turn our focus. It's an amazing thing, these things that God has made and did not develop by blind chance. Well, that's the picture on the surface. Somebody who is not using his gifts, his ability to see and hear. He's not using his senses, and the problem is really upstairs. He's not focused like he should be, and so he can get, physically, in a very literal way, into trouble. But that's not really what the proverb is, at least in the final instance, about. There's a deeper level than that. There is moral foresight and moral folly. Moral foresight and moral careless short-sightedness. This proverb presents us with an even deeper foresight that's not primarily governed by bare self-interest. It's governed by the fear of God. I do have a natural self-interest, but God takes first priority. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Just be absorbed in God. That's what God wants. And he calls us to love him like a sponge, just to be saturated with God. I can't get enough of him. Well, that's who this one is who foresees the evil. We need to interpret that in that context because that's the wisdom. The wisdom of Proverbs 1 controls the wisdom of Proverbs 22. That's always how you need to read the Bible. Read it in context. God is in the first case. He is in the place of greatest priority. He must increase, I must decrease. Nevertheless, by putting God first and putting himself second, he actually secures his own best interest in this world. Godliness, says Paul, is profitable for this life, as well as the life that is to come. Do you really love yourself? Well, if you really loved yourself, you'd love God first. You'd love Jesus first. You'd seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And then everything else would come to you in time. The fool closes out the thought of God in twisted self-interest. Yet it only seals his calamity because it does not reckon with God or his punishments in this world. He's not really thinking of God. And he's certainly not thinking of the dangers that God has placed in this world. Dangers which he is surrounded with warning signs saying, don't come here. Don't go there. He's not thinking about that. He's simple. He may have a lot of things in his head, but it's not substantive. It's not important. A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. God has a refuge for him, but he's got to see the evil. And he sees it, the prudent man. Because he's a different man. He's a prudent man. He's not simple. He's not vain. He's not full of himself. He puts God first. He sees the evil and he hides himself. But the simple, they pass on and are punished. We can contrast this moral foresight with moral folly by considering a stewardly use of the good gifts that we have. For example, versus recklessness and carelessness. A prudent man works hard and he saves his money. She just doesn't blow it on everything that all the advertisements that are bombarding her mind are calling her. Buy me, buy me, buy me. You need to have me now. And if you don't have the money, well, there's a card we can give you. And so you sign up for a card. And when you've maxed out that card, you sign up for another card. That's the simple man. He doesn't foresee, she doesn't process the fact that someday all of this is going to come to a bad end. A prudent man, the one who fears God, who realizes these gifts that God has given me, he wants me to use them for his glory and for the good not just of myself, but others who depend upon. So sometimes that means I have to say that little nasty two-letter word to myself a lot. It starts with N and ends with O. We've got to say no to ourselves. We've got to deny ourselves. If we if we are aware that in God's world there is danger if we don't take these precautions, we're not always going to have the health that we now enjoy. So we've got to save for a later day. We may not have the job that we presently have, or the savings that we have developed. We may end up having to use it at a faster rate because something has happened to me. Well, the proverb is not indicating that we can know everything, and there is a point at which we are overthinking the future, and we need to trust the Lord. But the virtue that is being held up here is a reasonable foresight. Not trying to over-prepare and overthink things, but taking reasonable foresight and saving our money. But the simple pass on and are punished. Hard work versus laziness. You see, the lazy man, he just thinks somehow it's going to miraculously appear out of thin air. Or I can always depend on Uncle so-and-so. Or I can just stay another year living where I am. And there's all kinds of excuses. There's a lion outside. That's the way of the simple who don't fear God. They don't foresee that by temporarily giving themselves extra rest, extra relaxation. Yeah, we all need rest. We all need downtime. We all need to decompress. But God made our bodies to work. 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. And it's a blessing of God. And if we utilize that, it's going to be a blessing to us. It'll be a blessing to us physically. We won't wither up faster than we already have to. It'll be a blessing to us emotionally and mentally, because there's gratification that comes from hard work and seeing the results of your labor. A prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. They don't see. They don't see that eventually it will be harvest time. And they will go out and there will only be weeds in the field to gather. Self-control in the good things that we put into our mouths. God has given us these blessings. But they can be abused. And it is short-sighted. It is short-sighted simply to use these blessings in a way that satisfies our immediate interest. The simple pass on and are punished. Solomon says elsewhere, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." A prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. This can also apply to the management, not just of outward gifts, money, or food and drink, but also the management of our tongue and the control of our temper. It is so profoundly short-sighted to misuse our tongue and to allow our anger to burst out at the smallest provocation. It is so short-sighted. The simple pass on. They don't see the danger for themselves. They don't see the danger for others. But the prudent man foresees the evil. He realizes, if I say another word, if I insist on that point, it's going to harm. And so I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to pull that tongue in. I'm not going to speak. I'm going to be silent. And it takes restraint. But the only way to have that restraint is to have foresight. Sexual immorality. We see Solomon warning his son. Look and see that simple one who's wandering in the street. He's passing near her corner. He goes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. He thinks everything's just fine. But then she has an encounter. He has an encounter with a dangerous woman. And you know, there's so much that seems attractive to these things, but there is such a poison, not just in relationships with people of loose morals, but also in those other temptations that abound in this technological age. The prudent man foresees the evil. If I click once, I'll probably click twice. And if I click twice, I'll probably click 10 more times. And 10 will be 100. I can't go down that road. I realize the danger that's there. It's going to tear my heart, tear my marriage apart. It's going to destroy everything. A prudent man foresees the evil and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. But there's a third and deeper dimension yet. Spiritual foresight and spiritual folly. This proverb bottoms out in the most profound kind of foresight. God who judges not only in this world, he not only brings fools to destruction in this world as they in their simplicity choose to keep on walking down a path that will bring them to destruction in this life, but this level of foresight realizes that beyond getting tied up with the law, beyond ruining myself and bankrupting myself by alcohol, beyond the heartache, the scandal, the diseases associated with sexual promiscuity, beyond all that and beyond all the judgments in this life, there is a judgment to come, the final judgment of God. And I see it. I see it coming. I see it. I see that one day I will answer for myself. There will be a reckoning. And therefore, as much as I want to say yes, I've got to say no. As much as I want to walk down this broad path with everyone else that's laughing, that's celebrating, that's handing me another beer, I know that they're walking down the broad path that leads to final destruction. And I gotta get off of it. I'm taking this exit. I'm getting off, and I'm never getting back on again. And the rest, all the simple, will laugh and they will mock at you and they will say, "You're just some killjoy. You don't know what you're missing." Or, "You think you're so holy and righteous. You think you know better. Get off your high horse." But they pass on. They keep on going. And they are punished. Friends, someday, each and every one of us and everyone else will stand with our resurrected bodies under the throne of Jesus Christ. Today is a call to foresight. Today is a call to look further than anyone else is looking. And not just to be afraid and to hide, but to look forward to that day. Because we know that we will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity because of what Jesus has done. But until then, we're going to be surrounded with temptations and distractions. And those distractions are going to come up as a fog so that we lose our way. Oh, but let us keep our eyes open. Let us realize that no matter what everyone else is saying, that there is a great day, that there is a great evil that is ahead, and God is giving warnings. The prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Now, friend, as we close, if you are beginning to foresee the evil for the first time, I mean, see it with a real sight, then hide yourself. It's just that simple. Hide yourself. Now, don't hide yourself in being a better person. You have foresight. You realize there's a final judgment. So I'm going to clean up and become a better person. Well, you do need to do that, but only after first hiding yourself in Jesus Christ, because He is the only refuge that we can have. He is the only shelter that is going to enable us to withstand the full storm of God's wrath, not any improvements that we could possibly make to ourselves. And if we get that right, and if we're hiding in Jesus Christ, then inevitably we're going to see so many ways in which we can please God and give ourselves much more peace and happiness in this life as we foresee the evil that others don't. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Don't pass on. Don't pass on. Now, hear what God is saying to you. Amen. Let us close in prayer once again. Oh, Lord, grant us to see. Great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, by thy word and spirit, make us to see the danger. And make us to not only see it, but to run for safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, O God, that we would walk a safe path the rest of our days. A path of obedience to the law of God, with hearts full of grace. Hear us now, O God, and keep us in this dangerous world, we ask. Through our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us close by singing from Psalm 25, the first version. Psalm 25. The first version, verses 15 through 22. to the tune Serenity, to number 162. Mine eyes upon the Lord continually are set, for he it is that shall bring forth my feet out of the net. To receive the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.